Anyways, but it's also been a great summer because we have had the privilege of not only doing this amazing series on prayer, but as we have been in the last multiple summers, we've had in-house communicators, members of our church body that you don't get to often hear from that communicate and preach the message on Sundays. And so we've had a variety of speakers, and I just love doing this because, guys, this house, this church is filled with a lot of depth and wealth inside of people's spirits. And it's just so encouraging to hear what God's speaking to different people in our body. And important for you guys as the church, myself included, that we're not dependent on one communicator or maybe just two, but we want to learn from one another. It's actually a really high value of mine, so we don't get so dependent on just one preacher telling you everything that you should know about the Bible, but it's a shared revelation of who God is through his word. So excited to continue to do that. We've been talking about prayer, so the title of this series is House of Prayer. And prayer, very broadly, is just our way to engage with and connect with God. So, of course, when you think of prayer, think of I'm praying for breakthrough for specific things or praying over a list of people. But I intentionally want to broaden that, and there is so many different angles or elements of prayer or engagement with God that we want to talk about this summer. And my hope is that you guys have a lot of different tools and you're equipped to engage with God in a variety of ways. So like the first week, we talk about the power of intercession and also how to pray for your church body. And then we also talked about a tool called TWI, which stands for Thanksgiving Worship Intercession, and we practiced that together, and it was amazing, rich time. And then last week, we talked about how do we process our emotions with God, and how do we let him into our hearts? It's so huge that we learn how to do that. He is our best friend, and the one that we want to confide in the most, and so we need to be equipped in how to do that. And then this morning, we get to hear about how to listen to God's voice, which I am really excited about, but I'm not giving that message. We got a guest speaker in the house this morning, and the one speaking is Lauren McGrath. Give it up for Lauren. Woohoo! Let me have some of her friends come join me and pray over her real quick. So pray with me. Lord, we thank you so much for Lauren and the gift that she is to our body. And thank you for the message you've given her today and the testimony that she's living from this message. And God, we thank you. You're a God who speaks. And we're your beloved children. And you can allow us to hear your voice. And Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to receive and anoint Lauren's words to share. We thank you for this time and we give it to you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. All right, give it up for Lauren one more time.
Hi, good morning, everyone. If I haven't met you before, my name is Lauren, and I'm really excited to be with you guys today. I always love it when people bring pictures of their family to see, and so I brought a picture of mine. That is my precious family. So my parents, Jim and Kara, are in the middle. They currently live in Florida and are helping take care of my grandparents. And then I have one older brother. He's 2 years older than me. His name's Tiernan. He married Jordan, and they have three precious kiddos. And I love them so much. I brought an extra picture of just them because I think they're so cute, and I love being an aunt. I think it's the greatest thing in the world. You get to have all of the fun, and then you get to pass them back. And so I love being an aunt. I work for the Northwest Arkansas Food Bank. I've worked there for about 2 years now. I manage their food pantry, which is in Rogers. And so my job is to provide food to people who need it in a dignified way with respect. And I really am passionate about that work, and it's been fun these past 2 years to kind of get to be the hands and feet of Jesus in a very practical way. But before that, I was a teacher. So I actually went to school to be an elementary teacher, and I taught for 5 years. So I taught first and third grade, the littles. We love them. I taught in Maryland, and then I taught here in Springdale. And that is actually how I ended up at Antioch. And so I taught at an elementary school in Springdale called Monitor Elementary, and that is where Sarah Paul works and Chelsea Coker, now Faust. And so I was co-workers with them, and around Christmas time, they sent out like an all-staff email saying, hey, we're going to have an Advent study. If you're interested, like, feel free to come. And so I love God, and I was still trying to find a church in the area. I was living in Bentonville at the time. And so I went to the Advent study, and I was talking with them, and we did prayer requests at the end, and I was sharing I went through a class at a local church, and their theology was on, and there was no red flags. It was a great church. I just didn't feel peace about going there. I didn't feel connected and didn't want to go. And so they're like, why don't you come with us? Just come one Sunday. You can sit by me. We'd love to have you. And so I showed up at the Holiday Inn in January of 2022, and I could immediately tell that there was something different about Antioch. It was unlike any other church I had been to before. So I was blessed to grow up in the church, like in a Christian home, and my parents brought me to church. The churches I primarily went to were like Southern Baptist churches, and so it was just a different vibe. But something about Antioch, I could sense that there was like this atmosphere of freedom. It was like almost like tangible. Like people in the room were worshiping God, and it wasn't about what they looked like, and it wasn't about a show. It was like, no, like we love God and we are excited to like worship. And so I was like, something's going on here. And so I stayed and I jumped into a life group and I jumped into discipleship. And I started to hear this like common phrase that was like woven throughout things about like listening to God, saying like, oh, I heard God say this. I was praying about my job and I felt like God told me this. Or people would go up to each other and be like, I feel like God wants me to encourage you and say this. And I was confused. I had never heard that before. And I was like, what is going on? These people think they can hear from God. Is that biblical? Isn't that just the Old Testament? Like, I was a little afraid and very confused. But little by little, like, I could see, like, the genuine faith that they had. And I was like, oh, like, no, they hear from God. Because what they're saying aligns with Scripture. It, like, is true to what Scripture says. And it is encouraging. And so then I got to the point where I was like, well, that's for them. Like, that's because of their church background. That's because they grew up and they were taught that. Like, that's not for me. Like, God doesn't speak to me. God won't speak to me. And surprise, he does. And he wants to. And so I am really excited. Like, so back in January, I joined in 2022. And then probably in February, Mitchell taught a sermon on time with Jesus. And one of those components was listening. And that was the first time I had ever heard of, like, listening to God in, like, your quote-unquote quiet time. And so the Pauls had invited me to lunch with them after church. So I went to their house, I was eating lunch, and they said, okay, like, what from today's sermon are we going to, do you want to try, like, in your time with God? And so I shared, I was like, I have never heard of listening before, and I've never tried it. So, like, I'll try that this week. Like, what's the worst that could happen? I don't hear anything, and that's where I'm at right now. So what's the worst? And so that is where I started, and now, like, today, 3 years later, like, listening to God is my favorite tool to connect with him, and it's my favorite part of time with Jesus. And, like, all the parts are important. We love that. But, like, listening to God is, like, genuinely my favorite. And so I'm very excited to, like, share with you this morning of just what God has taught me. This feels like a moment of testimony of, like, this is, like, the road that I've walked with God the past 3 years, and now I just get to share with you, like, what he's told me and what I've learned. And so first I want to define, like, what is listening? Like, what does it mean to hear God's voice? Because that can sound kind of swirly and ambiguous and confusing. But for me, this is what it looks like. It looks like kind of pausing in myself, like quieting my mind or quieting my heart, and, like, listening. And it's never been an audible voice to me, but it sounds like a word will pop into my head, a phrase will pop into my head, sometimes scripture will come to my head, and every so often it's a picture will come to my head. So a practical example of it that happened this week was I had to have a mini surgery this week to take some skin cancer off my back. And they had told me on the phone, like, this will be just like your biopsy. It's so chill. Like, it'll be fine. And I was like, cool. Showed up, not so chill, very different than what I thought. And they had an intern that was helping with the surgery. And so they were, like, narrating everything they were doing. And this is the first time, yeah, I have ever been awake for a surgery. And I never realized that because normally, like, I've had other surgeries, but they put you under and you take a nice little nap. This one I was awake for, and so they, like, numbed me, but I could still, like, hear the things they were doing and, like, feel it, and they were narrating it, and the tray of instruments was right in front of my face, so I could see the scalpel and the scissors. And then the intern, who was new, was like, oh, man, like, she's really bleeding. Like, why is she, like, she's, like, what happened? And then the doctor nurse was like, well, we hit an artery. She's like, no, not an artery, like, I don't know, she used some other term. And so I am laying on the table, starting to panic, honestly, because I'm afraid. I'm like, I can't move. I can't get out of this situation. There's a lot that's happening. Some of the numbing was wearing off. It was not a good time. But in that moment, like, I closed my eyes, and I just prayed. I was like, God, I'm scared. Like, I'm scared in this moment. And I, like, he met me, like, in that very second. And he said, I'm right here. Like, I'm right here. And then the 23rd Psalm came to mind. And so I just recited that over and over in my mind to, like, help me. And then I, like, pictured the still, calm waters that he, like, leads us by. And it got me through. And so it's like I started listening, and I love to write down his voice. I think there's a lot of power in writing it. But listening doesn't have to be, like, only in your quiet time when you're in your favorite chair and it's quiet in the room and you have the perfect music. Like, you can listen to God anywhere at any time. and he will answer you. Amen. Today we are going to be in John 10, verses 14 through 16. So if you want to turn there, I'll give you a second. This passage is talking about the Good Shepherd. And the whole chapter is great, honestly. But we're going to focus in verse 14 through 16. And it says, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. And so in talking about listening, I was, when Mitchell reached out a couple weeks ago, I was genuinely excited. And so I like to go for walks, and I was walking and praying, and like, God, like, what are the truths that you've taught me about listening? And I feel like there's like three kind of like main anchors that I have lived through these past 3 years that have helped me when I listen to God and helped deepen my relationship with him. None of them are super deep or super complicated, but there's power in them. And so the first one is that like we can know God more through listening. So verse 14 says like, I know my own and my own know me. Like, can we like pause for a moment and realize that? Like the good shepherd knows his own and lets his own know him. Like, that's incredible that, like, God, Jesus, like, wants us to know him and wants to know us, that, like, we're not, like, I don't know. That's just, like, incredible to me. But, like, knowing is deep in two parts. And so I mentioned earlier that I grew up in church and I had a lot of scriptural knowledge and great teaching of as a foundation, and I'm really grateful for that. And so I went to a Christian school. I actually went to a Christian university. I had classes in Old Testament, New Testament, and all of that. And so from learning and growing in the church, like my framework, I guess, for listening was like, we know God through scripture and he knows us because he's God. And that was like kind of like where I was starting from. And that's not actually like incorrect. Like, we do know God through scripture and he does know us because he's God, but there's more. And I didn't know that. And so like through listening in the grace of God, like it unlocks like a different kind of knowledge. And to me, it connected the two together. So like I had head knowledge. I knew who the Bible said God was, but now because I listen to his voice, like I know who he is because he has met me in my circumstances and in my life with his character in like a personal way. And that took the knowledge of who God is deeper. And I don't know about you, so sometimes in life, circumstances can get really loud. So like whatever's going on around you, there might be tension in family or relationships or work is really hard or a million different things, because life is hard, right? Circumstances can get really loud, and sometimes it's hard to remember who God is. And I can read the Old Testament, and that's so helpful to see, like, who God was to Moses and who God was to Abraham. And that knowledge is really important. But sometimes you can stop and actually ask God, like, God, I feel lost in this. Like, remind me who you are. Remind me of who you are right now in my life. Tell me about your character. And it, like, will connect those two knowledges together. Like I mentioned earlier, I love being an aunt, and the youngest is Eliana, and she will be 3 in August, and I got to meet her the day she was born, which was really fun. So I went to the hospital and got to hold her, my brother lives in Bentonville, so I get to see them a lot, and I have gotten to know Eliana, like, as she's growing. So, like, as a baby, like, I know what her toys were, what food she liked, like, the color of her hair, like, I knew her, but something changed this past year when she acquired language. When she could start talking, when she could tell me what she saw, what she was so excited about, what she was so proud of, what she was mad about and not having. Like, there is a deepening to a relationship when you can listen to that person and hear what they have to say and hear what's on their mind and heart. Like, the same is true with God. Like, we can talk to God all the time and that's awesome, but there's something different that happens when we actually get to listen to what he has to say and what he has to say about us. And so last week, Arden spoke, and it was incredible. If you didn't get to hear it, I highly recommend listening to it. But when we talk to God and we pour our heart out and we bring those emotions, that, like, builds that connection to God knowing us. And there's also something so powerful when in that place we stop and we listen to hear what he has to say back to us in our emotions, in our feelings. The second point is one that I am excited about because it was hard fought to believe. But the second point is that we don't have to be afraid of his voice. And so close your eyes for a second. I want you to picture a time where you have been afraid of what someone's going to say. Maybe it's a moment at work where you made a mistake and you're afraid what your boss is going to say. Maybe you have to tell somebody some really hard news. Maybe there's a relationship with tension that you're worried about what they're going to say. Like, you can feel that fear sometimes in your body. Take a really big deep breath. Like, that is not true of God. We don't have to be afraid of his voice. That is incredible that we don't have to be afraid. So in verse 16, it says, talking about us as sheep, he says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Like, this is talking about the good shepherd, and he's talking about us. Like, we were not of this fold, unless you're Jewish, but like, we were not of this fold. Like, he came and brought us in. He wanted us to be a part of it, and he wants us to listen to his voice. And he has good things to say. And so when it connects, like, it kind of builds. If you can connect to the first point of, like, when you know God, you know that you don't have to be afraid of his voice. Because he is good. Like, that's his character. So his words are going to be good. Like, he is love. And so his words are going to be love. Like, he is merciful. He is truth. He's going to tell you what's true. Like, what he says is true. And he is powerful. So like I said a second ago, like, this was kind of like a hard fought for me to learn and to understand. Because especially if you don't have a experience with hearing God's voice, it can be kind of scary. And so I was afraid of what God was going to say so many times, and I had to start there. I had to start in my fear and bring that to God. And so learning that I can trust him with my emotions, that was like the first big hurdle of like, okay, I'm going to bring God my sadness, and we're going to see what he does. And learning, oh, okay, like, I have brought God my sadness, and he met me in it, and he actually spoke comfort to me, and he saw me, and he wasn't mad at me for being sad, and he didn't tell me I was stupid. Like, he, like, met me in that. And then I learned, okay, I'm angry, but that's not allowed, so I can't bring that to God. But learning, no, actually, I can bring anger to God. He can handle it. Yeah. And, like, learning to bring anger to God and learning to bring your emotions to him. And, like, learning that, like, you don't have to fear his response. And you learn that by doing it. So it's like, we could read scripture, but it's like, for me, it didn't happen, like, in an instant. It happened with, like, being a little afraid and doing it anyway. And, like, experiencing his response. And every time, that made it a little easier and a little easier until I, like, genuinely want to bring my emotions to God. Because I know how he's going to respond and he's going to help. This also applies in bringing sin, which can be really hard because we know that, like, sin is, like, wrong and, like, away from God. And so it feels opposite to, like, try to bring that to him. But we actually don't have to be afraid of bringing our sin to God because he wants us to, because he's the one who can help. And so, like, there is freedom when we can bring the sin. We can bring the chaos. We can bring joy. We can bring confusion. We can bring anything at all, and like, we can bring that to him, and we don't have to be afraid of how he'll respond. And so that's a way that I have learned where I don't put the character of humans on God. Like, God is different. He is not going to respond like earthly humans do. And like, earthly humans are great, and sometimes we get it wrong, but God never gets it wrong. And so I just want to like say, like, if you're afraid, like, it's okay to start there. It's okay to start by being afraid and telling God, like, hey, I'm even afraid to talk about this. Can we talk about that? And he will, like, work with you and get you there. And also, I've just learned that there's room to wrestle with God's voice. And I was thinking of, like, the story of Jacob and how he wrestled with God. And he, like, actually physically wrestled with God. But sometimes, like, when I have talked to God and listened to his voice, his words are always good. His words are always true. Sometimes I don't understand his words. And sometimes his words have brought up something in me that is uncomfortable. And I had to sit with that and wrestle with that and bring that to God. And then I realized, like, in hindsight, that there was a deeper layer that God was going for in my heart. That he, like, saw some deeper healing that I needed, and he wasn't willing to let me, like, skim the surface. He was willing to say the truth that I needed to hear so that he could bring deeper healing to me and, like, deeper identity to me. And so it's okay to wrestle with it. If you hear something, you're like, huh, that doesn't sit well with me, or I don't like that. That's okay. But, like, that's actually kind of normal, and you can talk to your community, and you can talk to your friends about it, and you can talk to God about it. And the third point is that there's nothing that you can't tell him. In verse 16, it says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. When I was studying for this, I was taken, like, by the phrase of one flock and one shepherd. And to me, I'm like, that's unity. Like, we pray for unity in this church. We pray for unity in our life groups. We pray for unity, like, in the capital C church. Like, we want that. And that actually can happen by listening to God. And I don't think I ever put that together. Like, unity comes when we listen to God because he is the one who can coordinate the unity. Like, he, like, knows what is happening in all the areas. And so when we listen to him and obey him, like, he will bring us together. Like, and so something that I was thinking about, too, is, like, the filters we all wear. And, like, at work, you probably have a filter that you put on because you want to be professional and you want to carry yourself well. Or in your family, there's, like, filters of things that you will say and things that you might not say. Because we all know, like, our hearts are sometimes not right, and it is not helpful if we say every single thing that comes to our head. Like, if we just, like, let it come right out, then that can cause problems. And so you see that in tiny children, how they have no filter, and so what comes in their head comes right out their mouth. But as we become adults, we, like, learn to kind of filter ourselves. We hold things in. We, like, process things. We have a filter. We actually don't need a filter with God. And I had to learn that, because at first, when I was listening and praying, I was trying to filter myself. I was trying to make sure I had the right words. I was trying to make sure that I wasn't saying anything that was not kind or correct. But there is so much freedom when we talk to God and we listen to him that we, like, don't have to filter ourselves. And so just thinking, like, there is no secret that I can't tell him. There's nothing about my story and my life that I can't tell God. There's nothing about someone else's story that I can't tell God. Like, if you're walking in community, sometimes hard things happen, and I'm not going to go to another friend to talk about the hard thing that's happening over here because that can cause disunity. But you can't gossip with God. And so there's a lot of freedom in that of, like, I can go straight to God and say, like, hey, this situation is hard. Like, my heart is broken for this situation, or this is messy. Like, I, like, what do you have to say, God? What do you want to do? And so, like, there's no filter that you have to wear with him because there's nothing you can't tell him. One, he already knows. And two, if it's on your heart, then it's on his. Like, he wants to know about it. There is no frustration that is too messy. So just reemphasizing that, like, you don't have to have the perfect words. It doesn't have to be eloquent. It can be really, really messy and really uncomfortable. And he can handle the mess. He can sort out, even if you don't even know what you're feeling, just bring it to him. Just word vomit to God because he can take care of it. Earlier this week, I was driving to work, and I had some worship music playing, and a hymn came on. And it reminded me, when I was a little girl, my grandparents lived in Indiana on a little farm. And every time we visited them, we would go to their little tiny country church. There was probably, like, maybe 30 people max in this tiny little town. And they always sang hymns. And so that's where I learned a lot of, like, classic hymns. And I think there's a beauty to some of the lyrics. But this is one of the hymns, and it's called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And this little portion of it, like, struck me. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. And it says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And, like, thinking in my life of, like, I don't want to carry pain that I don't have to. I don't want to forfeit, like, his peace. But if I don't want to forfeit his peace, I have to bring it to him. And then I have to listen to what he has to say. But we don't have to fear what he has to say. And so I will invite the band up if you guys want to come. And these truths are really simple, but I have just lived the past 3 years, like, God teaching them to me, and there is so much power in, like, the day-to-day grind of, like, I can testify, like, sin has been broken off my life because I listen to God's voice, and I can hear his voice, and I hear what he has to say to me in my sin, and what he has to say to me, like, no, I don't actually have that for you. Here's where we're going. And my identity has been secured. Like, some of you knew me when I first walked to Antioch and through those doors, and oh boy, I loved God, but man, I had a lot of anxiety and fear on me, and I had a lot of insecurity and things to wrestle through. But that's not true anymore, and that is an incredible testimony that, like, my identity has been, like, given to me, and that I can, like, stand here and honestly hold this microphone, because that would not have been true 3 years ago at all. And so we can know God more through listening. Like, you don't have to be afraid of his voice. And there's nothing that we can't tell him. And so just some practicals, because I love practicals. That's my way my brain works. If this is brand new to you, like me, and you don't have context for it, start small. It's okay. Like, I started with, like, I think the two questions that Mitchell gave, of who do you, like, asking God, who do you say I am? And asking him, is there anything you want to tell me about today? And when I started that for me, when I asked God, who do you say I am? The only thing I heard was daughter. And for weeks and months, I would just write the word daughter. And when I asked him, like, is there anything you want to say about today? I would just hear, I love you. And that was hard for me to swallow, honestly, because immediately I'd be like, that's wrong. I'm a heretic. I can't believe I'm trying this. Like, this is all wrong. But, like, with repetition, it goes deeper. And then with comparing it, like, wait, why can't that be true? Why can't I be his daughter? Because that's what Scripture says. Why can't he love me? Because that's also what Scripture says. But my internal voice was like, absolutely not. And it takes time for him to unwind some of those cords and those threads and for him to put his truth and identity and to receive, like, what he has to say. And so my encouragement is to just try. Write it down. Like, read it back to yourself. I've done that countless times of getting past the fear of, what if I do it wrong? Just write down what is coming into your head and read it back and say, like, does this match with Scripture? Does this sound like God? And bring in your community. Like, there have been countless D groups where I've walked in and be like, I'm really confused. This is what I feel like God's saying. Does this make sense? And talk to your community about it, and they will help you, like, sift and sort through things and pray with you through it. And so I am a writer. I have not always been a journaler, but I have my journals since I started coming to Antioch. And so in college, I would journal, but it would be, like, some prayers and what I did that day. But I would have, like, maybe one journal for the whole year. But these are my journals since I started coming to Antioch and hearing God's voice. And not every single one of these is, like, full of God's voice. But they're pages of me, like, learning and hearing his identity. And I'm like, keep going. I have a lot of words. God had a lot to say to me, and it took a lot of time. And there's a blessing of being single because I had so much time to sit with God. But, like, this is like an Ebenezer of, like, when we ask him to speak, he has something to say. Like, he will meet us in that, and he wants to say and speak who he is, and he wants to speak who we are. And then we go from there. And then to me, it feels like freedom. The pressure's off me. I don't have to figure out how to live a life that glorifies God. I don't have to figure out all of these things. I can just bring myself to him and pray and listen. And when he tells me to go, I'll go. And when he tells me to stay, I'll stay. And if he tells me this or that, I'm going to listen. I want to listen because I've built the reps of hearing his voice. It was an instant. It's been 3 years and a lot of words, and there's tear stains on some of these pages. But, like, he, when we speak, he wants to, like, he wants to hear us, and he wants to speak to us, and they go together. Like, prayer and listening to me is like bread and butter. Like, you need to have butter on your bread. It's important. So when we pray, we should also listen, because there's power in, like, what he has to say to us. And so I'm going to put, there will be some reflection questions on the screen here, and it's simple ones. If you have something else you want to listen to God about, please do. But these are the simple ones that got me started. Like, God, who do you say that I am? Like, God, would you remind me of who you are? And then you can ask him about anything that's going on in your life. God, what do you have to say about blank? And so I will pray for us and pray this over us, and then you guys can write it in your journal if you have one, or on the notes app of your phone, or just sit and think. But I will pray for us. God, thank you that you're a good shepherd. Thank you that you have words to say to us and that you really care about us. Thank you that you speak. God, I pray for this church body. God, I pray that this morning that people will learn to hear your voice, and what an exciting journey that can be. God, I pray that you would break off any fear, anxiety that might be resting on people if that is new to them, God. And if there are people here who have done it their whole lives, God, would you renew the joy to them of the fact that they can hear your voice? And would it, like, bring, fresh joy, God? Thank you that there is power in your words, that, like, your words spoke light into creation, and your words want to speak to us, God. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and that you would speak, and that we would be open to hearing your voice.